Welcome to the Care of Souls podcast with Dr. Stuart Scott and Pastor Adam Tyson. Dr. Scott serves as the executive director of 180 Ministries and professor of biblical counseling at the Master's University. Pastor Tyson serves as the senior pastor of Placer Rita Bible Church and adjunct professor at the Master's University as well. Visit 180ministries.org and masters.edu to learn more about their programs and services in biblical counseling. I'm your host, Mark Smith, and we're thankful to bring you this next episode on Care of Souls, in which Stuart and Adam discuss practical and profound principles from Scripture to help you faithfully follow Christ. Stuart reminds Christian husbands at the beginning of chapter 12 in The Exemplary Husband, the stewardship principle involves one's maturity and character. The presence of it, or the lack of it, has far-reaching effects on every husband's life. One of the chief complaints heard from wives in problem marriages is that the husband is not faithful concerning reasonable goals and his God-given responsibilities in their marriage and or their life in general. Unless we as men learn to become faithful stewards, we won't be able to fulfill our responsibilities as a husband, and we will have many sins and failures with which to reckon. Good stewardship is a necessary path toward usefulness to God and His kingdom. Now here's Stuart and Adam.
Great to be back in the studio with you, Dr. Scott.
Likewise, Adam. Thank you.
Man, we've been having a good time working through your book, The Exemplary Husband. And today we're on chapter 12, A Husband's Responsibility, talking about stewardship. Tell me a little bit about this. When we think about stewardship, I think you mentioned in the chapter, usually people start reaching for their wallets because they know the pastor's going to say, in order to be a good steward, give more money here.
That's right. Yeah, growing up, we had stewardship month at their churches, you know, and January was usually stewardship month, and it was all on finances. And that's all that I, you know, when someone talks about stewardship, I'm thinking it's just finances and money and giving.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the scripture, we find out stewardship is about everything God has entrusted to us, time, energy, money, possessions, people, relationships. It's life, you know, as a steward of a manager of what God has entrusted. It includes money, but it's not limited to money.
So you're not saying in this chapter that a husband should just give his wife more money?
No.
Oh, man, we're going to have some disappointed listeners out there.
Yeah, especially the women.
for sure.
We're hoping for that. Now, some might need to do that.
You got it, man. I think I'm one of those who probably needs to do that. So, hey, you know what? I appreciate what you're saying about stewardship because it is so much deeper, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Way more than financial. Everything that we have, that we possess, we've been given by God. We don't have anything on our own. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, and we're supposed to be a steward. Give us a little bit about that working definition that you mentioned. Is that what you're talking about when you say it pertains to more than just money?
Yeah. You know, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, which talking about just the blessings of the gospel, it goes into chapter 4 and says in verse 2, in this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Mm. And that's not about so much finances. It's about the gospel that's been entrusted to us. Be faithful as a steward, ministering it, preaching it, teaching it. So that's one place that goes way beyond finances.
Yeah.
Then you have Luke 16:10, which says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one that is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. That is referring about finances and wealth. So you have this principle of what I put there, managing, maintaining, and making the most of all that God has entrusted to us. And it's not for our benefit only. It says there for the furtherance of His interests as we look forward to future reward. And that would be more spiritual reward in heaven of just being well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty exhaustive list, isn't it?
It is.
And yet at the same time, we know that this book on the exemplary husband, a lot of that will pertain to, for our context today, mm-hmm. wife and mm-hmm. children and mm-hmm. things going on in the home. And so you mentioned here on page 159 in that chapter 12 on stewardship, all the things that you're a steward of, mm-hmm. that we've mentioned, wife, children, brothers and sisters in Christ, money, possessions, time, talents and abilities, physical body, spiritual gifts, your ministry. And so you mentioned, Dr. Scott, all of that we're a steward of, but they are God's own loan.
Yeah.
Make sure I understand that correctly. Just say, what is it exactly that you are saying there?
Yeah, it all belongs to Him. Back to Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and mm-hmm. all it contains. the world and those who dwell in it. Everything is God's, and we're just managers, and so everything is on loan. We don't own anything. I can't say this is my car, my house, my body even. We've been bought with a price if we're in Christ. It just frees up a person from a clenched fist mm-hmm. holding on tightly to open palms mm-hmm. and everything is just held lightly mm-hmm. and just saying, Lord, help me to be faithful, a faithful steward of it. And it's a whole way, a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because even as children will see, it's mine.
Right.
You know, that thought pattern of, I want, it's mine. And when we're in Christ, we realize, no, it's all the Lord's.
Yeah, talking just about marriage, because I would tend to think something to the effect of like, well, my wife mm-hmm. and my wife, and you're saying even there, maybe I should redirect that and say, well, the wife that God gave me,
yes,
I need to care for better.
Yeah.
That'd be a healthy, nuanced change in our thinking.
And even our children. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the children the Lord has loaned unto us. He gives, he mm-hmm. can take away. And in the meantime, while we have them, we just need to seek to be faithful as just, again, good, faithful stewards mm-hmm. of what God's entrusted.
Sure. Well, in doing that, then we got to be putting off hindrances to faithfulness because we've been called to be those stewards, to be good managers of what God has for us. And so you mentioned here on page 162 about just putting off the hindrances to us being faithful. And you go through a list here, a couple of pages of putting off. And the first one you talk about is just putting off sin.
Yeah.
There's evidences of sin in our life that we want to put off, and we want to replace that with Christ's righteousness, with holy behavior. So let's talk about a few of those. I know we're going to be talking in a future episode in depth about pride, but mm-hmm. that's the first one you mentioned.
Yeah, it's the biggest one. and selfishness, yeah.
Those two are pretty hard for any husband to put off, right?
Yeah, it's a continual daily battle.
And you're saying, hey, in order to be a good steward, you got to get rid of your pride.
Yeah.
And so for a husband to do that practically, we'll talk about that maybe when we hit that chapter coming up soon on pride and humility. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about selfishness. You said they kind of go together a little bit, but what are some ways of being a good steward as a husband you can put off this sin of selfishness?
Yeah, we're just born selfish, and it's our default. It's what I want and what I think. So it's our default. Pride is that mindset of being selfish. So that has a lot to play in this area of stewardship. Mm-hmm. It's either God's or I think it's mine. Mm-hmm. I either look into God's word and find out how he wants us to use his resources and what he's loaned, or I want to do what I want to do. You can just see that battle. You can't stop being selfish. You have to repent of it and put on what can love God more and what can love others more. So I have to be very aggressive in repentance and putting on what's right, mm-hmm. not just trying to stop being selfish.
Yeah, you want to replace it with a better holy habit.
Yeah, because you just can't say no to sin and stay there.
Yeah. Another one that you mentioned here is laziness. We've got to put that off. What do you think are some common ways a husband exemplifies laziness in today's culture?
Putting things off. I mentioned that in there, procrastination. I'll get to it. I'll do it later. You know, even the tomorrow is a famous kind of expression. I'll do it tomorrow. Rather than, does it need to be done today in the time that I have and redeem the time today? Comfort comes in, you know, an idolatrous desire of I'll sin to get comfort. Boy, you bring that in to a man's life. Leave me alone. I don't want any interruptions. I don't want to be asked to do anything. I've been working hard all day. I mean, that was my early thought pattern when I would come home from work is no problems, no hassles, no interruptions. And it was selfish. It was just selfish. I wasn't coming home to serve. I was actually coming home to be served.
Mm. That's extremely convicting to think about. Are you saying that today, the honey-do list that we so admirably talk about from time to time, a wife wants a lot of different things done around the house, just trying to balance that with the husband can't do it all today.
Right.
But yeah. neither can he fall into like honey and just push it down the road indefinitely.
Yeah.
So maybe coming up with a plan, maybe say, hey, honey, maybe I can get to that this weekend, or let's wait until, you know, it warms up a little bit in the summer, we'll clean out the garage, or just kind of come up with a plan. Maybe that would suffice without necessarily feeling that he's, you know, if he's not doing it all today, he's not being a good steward.
Yeah. No, and that's excellent. You're right. You can't do it all in one time. But that's where she lives. Mm-hmm. You know, she have children, and that's her office, so to speak. That's the domain where she's at day in and day out. So if a light bulb's burnt out, that's a big significant thing to her, even though I don't deal with it much being away from the home. So if all those things could be listed and then maybe even prioritize them.
Yeah.
What's the priority of all of these 20, 30 things that may
sure.
need to be dealt with? And then try to think through the cost. What does it cost to fix something or do something? And then the timing. If I know this is top priority, then I can love her well
yeah.
by going after the first couple
sure.
right away.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I was recently counseling with the couple, and we were talking about these kinds of issues. And one of the things the wife wanted done that wasn't done was the ceiling fan had stopped working in one of the kids' rooms.
Yeah.
And her husband kept saying, hey, I'll get to it. Well, I asked, well, how long has it been since the fan stopped working? And she said, oh, last year. And so I looked at him and just easily made that part of our homework. And I said, hey, man, do you think it's possible that between now and next week, because he was also good with his hands, kind of like a handyman kind of guy, do you think it's possible you could do that to show your wife you really care for her, you're listening to her, and you're willing to get that done? And did you know he did? And the wife told me if we only came to counseling so that fan could get fixed, we're so glad that we've been coming.
And he needs to sleep in that room in the summer. Until it's fixed, one of those things.
Hey, there you go.
Feel what your son feels. Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. We're just all acknowledging. Sometimes we just need to be nudged.
Yes,
and we need to be reminded, yeah. Hey, this is an example of us being lazy. I'm certainly guilty of that.
Yeah.
Zandra's told me you're guilty of that. I'm just
Absolutely.
Kidding. You know, we're all struggling, but there's times where it's like, you know what? I'm putting her needs over my own. That's Philippians yeah. 2, considering others and their interests, their desires is more important than your own.
That and you think about what you just mentioned, we need to be prodded. Is the Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, even when we gather mm-hmm. as a church, we tend to just go back into thinking of us and not others. And we just need to prod each other, stir one another yeah. up to love and good deeds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's so good. Well, why don't we spend the rest of our time on this chapter, Dr. Scott, here at the middle towards the end. You do talk about time and money. Those are the two mm-hmm. big ones when we talk about how to be a good steward. And so let's look at some of these. You list here actually about being a good steward of your time. You list something like 12 different ways that we want to be careful that we need to have convictions about being good users of the time God's given us. You want to run through maybe a couple of those and how they relate to being an exemplary husband?
Yeah, and I think I share a lot of different references there and verses. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 is probably a key one on redeem the time, for the days are evil. It's don't waste and squander time. You can't get it back. You can't carry it over into tomorrow. We only have so much time every day. Just trying to think through, Lord, help me to be more of a faithful steward today than maybe yesterday. And if a husband just starts thinking just more today than yesterday, won't be perfect. Tomorrow, a little bit more tomorrow than today. And I try to start with priorities. And I have a chart, one of the appendices. It's a practical tool that a husband can list what are his God-given responsibilities, priorities on the left-hand column. What does God require of me? What am I responsible to do? And then take those responsibilities and start putting them over into a week at a glance. So half-hour increments, when am I going to be working my job to help provide? When am I going to be meeting with those at church? When am I going to be having my own time in the Word and prayer? When am I sleeping? Just what are the priorities in my life that God mandates, and then try to work them in a schedule. Mm. And I have found that is so helpful for, well, myself. That's how I started it. But then helping with men who, they get busy doing something and they'll spend hours upon hours on something that's really not all that important, or it's a desire of theirs, but it's not a responsibility. Mm-hmm. Things they would like to do that they're not a mandated responsibility, they can list those at the bottom. And if there's time left over, try to fit that in.
Sure. Now, I'm thinking about this. Basically, it's an Excel spreadsheet starting at 5 a.m. and going to midnight.
Well, that's, anyone can change whatever time they wake up to what time they go to bed.
And mm-hmm. I think typically when I think about this conversation, I think about young men who are procrastinators and lazy, mm-hmm. and they're not getting their work done, and they're not getting their school done, and they're wasting all their time. Would you take this same homework and assign it in marriage? If you sense what we're talking about is sense there's a husband who's not being really a good steward, it's causing a lot of frustration. A lot of difficulties. You think most wives would probably like this. They would say, you know what, if you could help just put us on a schedule, or at least help us think through how we could get on a better schedule, that would probably go a long way to help us. And then you could even put stuff in there like date night.
That's right.
Time to pray together, be in the Word together. Yep. There's lots of good things that if we saw it on paper, it might help us be more faithful in carrying it out.
Yes, and she can do it too. For her life, so they have family night that's on the same night, so she puts it on a Thursday night, he has it on Thursday night, and then plan out your time. And when I do this, I'm wanting them to be able to change it if it's not working. Mm-hmm. So we put our date night, or we have a time with our kids planned for a Saturday, but other things come up every Saturday. That's probably not the best time. Let's pick another time. Mm-hmm. It's not hard and fast. It's just a tool that can help them with time management, with what's most important. Mm-hmm. And that's redeeming the time.
Sure. And if nothing else, at least they're looking at it and talking about it.
Yes, that's right.
And we're not going to use it like legalistically.
Right.
But we're trying to say this stirs us up. Yep. This helps us think about our priorities. Let's put something down and talk about it and then try to get in this habit.
Yep.
And then maybe we don't need to look at it so often.
That's true. Yeah. You get into some good habits rather than looking. Well, you have 4 hours of video games. and she's wanting a time to talk with you. And you're saying, I'm too busy. Let's talk about that.
Well, a good Dodgers game lasts about 3.5 hours.
That's right.
So that's tough to fit in there, isn't it?
Yeah, unless you talk to her during the commercials.
There you go. Well, baseball is slow enough. You can talk during the game.
That's true.
Okay, so that's being a good steward of our time, just connecting, talking. And you're thinking, Dr. Scott, just in general, husbands are more like task-focused. And you're already mentioned a couple of times the wife is probably more relationally focused.
Yeah.
Like, let's take a walk together. Let's talk together. Let's pray together. Let's connect more. And is that something that you feel like she is wanting unrealistically? Or do you find most wives are like, no, that's pretty much what a wife is desiring, and you should be able to give that to her.
Yeah, and I don't look at it as you don't think of tasks and things that need to be done. So she's going to have to start also thinking there are projects and things that need to be get done and at a certain time in a certain way, and they can't just linger on and on and on. And he needs to be thinking much more in a relational. So both have to be giving to be in harmony. So it's not one, it may be more one than the other that has to make some concessions. But both usually have to be thinking, what's the scripture say about, one, redeeming the time, getting things done that the Lord wants us to get done, but also not missing the relational aspect of it.
Okay. I want to ask you this question because I've heard it come up a few times in marriage counseling. What about, let's say the husband is struggling, we've already mentioned maybe too much time with recreation or ball games or video games or whatever. I mean, hopefully there's not that many husbands playing video games, but some do. How about for the wife? I hear a lot of questions about, well, she's on social media a lot, constantly scrolling through her phone. The husband is actually available maybe to have a conversation, but she just got another notification and she's kind of scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Are you hearing more and more of this? And if so, how would you encourage maybe for a wife to think through her time when she's got that device in her hand and she's kind of constantly tied to all of her friends and other family members who are giving important updates about what's going on in their lives?
Yeah, well, sometimes when I'll look at Facebook, and I'm not on it much, but I'll see some people who are on it quite a bit, and it's not just women.
Yeah.
It's men that are on there. The first thing someone posts, they've got answers. I'm going, are you on there all the time? I mean, you're answering. And so it's men and women that have to really watch that whole social media scene. Where men can get caught up is in the projects and that's where they're going to have to pull back, and that's the best job I can do in the time I have it, and I've got other things I need to get moving on with. I think for the ladies, they're going to have to think relationally. They can get all caught up long time on the phone with people, where the relational, they'll get into the details, I mean, way into the weeds on things and not pull up. And there are other things and tasks that need to get done. So like each one has a strength and a weakness that comes with it.
That's why they need to come together.
That's right. That's why it's a great team. If they're willing to be submissive, listen to the other, and make necessary changes to keep working at harmony.
I love that. That's so helpful. Well, we're talking about getting a good handle on the use of our time. Let's talk a little bit about stewardship as well of finances. You mentioned this is another big one. This is kind of where we started our podcast today, talking about when we think about stewardship, there is that fiscal responsibility. God cares a lot about that. A lot of scripture speaks about money issues. So let's talk about where this plays out in marriage. What are some ways a couple can grow to have the same convictions from the Bible about how to steward their money well?
Yeah, and I mentioned the Luke 16:10 about just being faithful in little, and then the Lord entrusts you with more. It's just be faithful in the little things. When you first get married, there's expenses. How are we going to deal with this? How, if there's school debt, if there's, how can we be faithful in the little and really work together, not against each other? Some will go buy things and not tell the other, and they didn't want any negative reaction. It's just being open and honest with each other, what will work for us and the budget that we have. And what I did, because that's not like, I'm not trained in business management. It was more in education, is I asked Jim Rickard, who oversees the Stewardship Services Foundation, if I could take, because he taught in my class on stewardship of finances. And I thought, man, that is so... all these biblical principles and practical ways of applying it with budget sheets and real practical tools. And so I put it in the appendices, appendix 8 on pages 347. And he just has a lot of real helpful things. Now you can do electronic, all kinds of apps that help with tracking money and expenses. But it's a good... some good ledgers here that someone can initially think through. How are we going to get out of debt? How do we keep from being in debt and manage money for the glory of God? That's what it's really about.
Yeah. I mean, and just to give our listeners an idea of what we're talking about in case they don't have a book in front of them, I love the key financial principles that Jim Rickard gives. Number one, give to God first. So husband and wife should start right there, right? They should say, hey, this is the income God's given us. Yeah. We're going to set aside a regular, sacrificial, joyful amount. That's the attitude behind what we're doing and give to God out of the first fruits. So a husband and wife could talk through that, pray through that, and then do that together. Learn to be a saver. You know, typically in a marriage, you have maybe one who's more prone to saving and one who's really gifted at giving or spending, excuse me. So learn to be a saver. Number three, learn to spend less than you earn. That's an important principle, right? That's how money works.
Yep.
Have cash in the emergency fund. Don't finance pleasure items. Protect the family with adequate life insurance. Retirement plan in progress by age 40 is a suggestion. And then own your own home by 65 or retirement. What do you think about those principles? Would you say those are pretty firm? I know we have an age mentioned here, age 40, age 65. Yeah. But the most important thing is at least a husband and wife are talking about it, pursuing reasonable biblical principles like this, and then trying to get on the same page to execute something that would honor the Lord and they could both agree on?
Yes. And some of these are suggestions. Obviously, giving to God, that He's the greatest first priority. You can see that throughout Scripture about worshiping Him and giving, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But some of them are suggestions. You know, like you think about a retirement plan and progress. I mean, you ought to. It's not mandated. There's no scripture verse on that. But when you're moving up to 40, you're going, you know, I may have another 20, 30 really good years here. Something needs to be in place, especially for husbands, to think about how's their wife, you know, if I were to die, who's going to be caring for my wife, you know, through those years? So it is wise stewardship, wise planning to provide. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 5 about providing for your family, for your wife. So it's a way of thinking ahead. The 40 by age 40 is just a suggestion. As you mentioned, it's a suggestion.
Yeah, the same I would suggest earlier.
Yeah, I would too. Especially life insurance, I would say as soon as you're married, mm-hmm. be thinking about that.
Yeah.
And if a child comes along, for sure, mm-hmm. because it's there's no promise that we'll be here on earth tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, how about some of these principles that, let's just say, a husband and wife just simply don't agree on either how much or what time they've accomplished some of these goals. Husband has his reasons, wife has her reasons. What does that couple do?
Yeah, and I think if they can sit down and each listen to each other, if they're both wanting to glorify God, that's kind of like the foundation.
Yeah.
If they're both seeking to glorify God and one thinks the other is unreasonable, just listen carefully to each other, you know, let her take the first.
Yeah. Let's say they did, they still don't agree.
Yeah, then I would seek some outside help.
Okay, and that would be key, right?
That would be.
Maybe a financial planner, maybe an elder who
happens
to be gifted also in finances.
Right.
Maybe having that objectivity, someone else who could look at your budget. You've kind of justified things over your life and marriage, and they say, hey, look, you got to put more money here and less here.
And I would say the elder and his wife.
Yeah.
Because to
her
have
perspectives important too.
Yeah, because he said, you're just another guy thinking the same way as my husband.
Yeah.
Rather than have his wife there saying, yes, and I had to rethink this and we had to talk through. It really helps her to have another woman in the room.
Yeah.
To help her to love her husband, right? And love her children well. I just think a couple ministering to a couple can be very helpful.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for giving us these great principles on stewardship. We pray that God would use it in the hearts of those who are listening today to help them honor the Lord and how they steward their time and their money, all for God's glory.
Amen.
This chapter closes with a biblical admonition from Stuart. Husband, are you seeking to be faithful with whom and with what God has entrusted you? Are you seeking to invest the things He has given you in His kingdom? Or do you want to spend them on your own pleasures? The exemplary husband, that is, those of us who aren't perfect husbands, but who are seeking to grow as husbands, he knows that he's not been given his life, his family, his job, his possessions, or anything else merely for his own benefit, but for the benefit of God and others. Being a faithful steward will result in God's glory, our usefulness, and our receiving great heavenly reward. We hope you were blessed by the Care of Souls podcast. Please pray for us at 180 Ministries and the Masters University as we seek to edify the church and exalt Christ through biblical counseling that is faithful to Scripture. Consider supporting 180 Ministries financially so we can continue to bring you sound wisdom from God's Word on these everyday topics. Visit 180ministries.org to give online and send an email to info@180ministries.org with your feedback and any questions. We'd be grateful to hear how this podcast is helping you. And we look forward to having you join us on the next episode of the Care of Souls podcast as we discuss exemplary husbands and excellent wives.